pulse and smiles. A fine kill, Bologna. One bone rider, a lofty, striking man with blazing eyes and a statue's cheekbones, makes a little cooing noise. Tattooed fingers with painted nails tap his bottom lip. How much for Barker's bones? He asks.
Not for sale, Cassius replies.
The man flashes an arrogant smile. Everything's for sale, my goodman.
10 million credits for a rib?
No.
100 million? Come now, Bologna.
My title, Legat Valiae Wrath, is Morning Night. You may address me as Sir or not at all. Ares' body is property of the state. It's not mine to sell. But if you ask me about it again, I will have more than words with you, sir.
Will you have a rat?
Tactus's elder brother asks.
Is that what you mean?
I've never met the annoyingly aristocratic creature before, and I'm glad for it. Tactus seems the better of the bunch.
You gory damn savage,
Mustang says through bloody teeth.
Savage?
Tactus's brother asks. Such a pretty mouth.
That's not how you should use it.
Cassius takes a step toward the man. The other bone riders reach for their blades.
Tharsis, shut up.
Lilith tilts her head, listening to a comm in her ear as he returns to her side, lifting his nose.
Yes, my liege, she says into her comm. Barker is dead. I checked.
Antonia steps forward.
Is that Adrius? Let me speak with him.
She holds up a hand to the taller woman.
Antonia wants to speak with you.
She pauses.
He says it can wait. Tharsis, Novas, uncuff the Reaper and spread his arms.
What about Virginia?
Tharsis asks. Touch her, you die, Cassius says. That's all you need to know. There's fear behind Cassius's eyes, even if he doesn't show it. He never would have brought her here, if he could have helped it. Unlike the Sovereign's men, the Jackal is liable to do anything at any time. Azure's guarantee of safety suddenly feels very frail. Why would the Sovereign send us here?
No one will touch your prizes,
Lilith says. Voice that eerie one note.
Except the Reaper.
I'm to deliver him,
we know. But my master requires compensation for past grievances. The Sovereign granted him permission while you were landing. Precautionary measures.
She flashes her data pad. Cassius reads the order and goes a little pale, looking back at me.
Now may we proceed, or do you care to fuss further?
Cassius has no choice. He depresses the remote. The metal cuffs locking my hands to my chest open. Tharsis and Novas are there to grab my arms and haul them to the sides, wrapping their whip-form razors around each wrist, pulling taut till my shoulders grind in their sockets.
You're going to let them do this?
Mustang snarls at Cassius.
What happened to your honor? Is it as false as the rest of you?
He's about to say something, but she spits at his feet. Antonia smiles repugnantly, captivated by the sight of me in pain. Lilith takes my razor from Cassius and walks away toward the ripwings that escorted us into the hangar. There she holds my sling blade up into one of the smoldering engines.
Tell me, Reaper, did you piddle my baby brother? Is that why he was so besotted?
Tharsis asks as we wait. His perfumed locks fall over his eyes. He alone has not shaved his head.
Well, you're not the first to plough that field, if you catch my flow.
I stare straight ahead.
Is he right or left-handed?
Lilith calls over.
Right,
Cassius replies.
Pollux, tourniquets,
Lilith instructs. I realize what they intend, and my blood runs cold.
It feels like it's happening to someone else. Even when the rubber tightens around my right forearm, and the needle pricks of sensation tingle through the tips of my fingers. Then I hear my enemy. The clicking of his black boots. The delicate shift in everyone's mannerisms. The fear. The bone riders part to watch their master enter out of the mouth of the main hall to the hangar bay, flanked by a dozen more towering gold bodyguards with shaved heads. Each tall as Victor, gold skulls laugh on their collars, on the handles of their razors. Bones rattle on their shoulders, finger joints taken from their enemies. Taken from Lorne, from Fitchner, from my howlers. These are the killers of my time. Their arrogance drips from them. And they look at me. And it isn't hate I see in their violent eyes, but a fundamental absence of empathy. I told the jackal I didn't hate him. That was a lie. It's all I feel, watching him walk across the deck, the pistol he killed my uncle with hanging on a magnetic strip holster on his thigh, his armor gold, roaring with gold lions, human ribs implanted along the sides of the torso, each carved with details I cannot make out, hair combed and parted on the side, his silver stylus in his hand, twirling, twirling. Antonia takes a step toward him, but stops herself when she sees he's walking to Severo, and not to her. Good. The bones are intact. After he's examined Severo's bloody body, he stands over his sister. Hello, Virginia. Nothing to say. What is there to say? She asks through gritted teeth. What words have I for a monster? He takes her jaw between his forefingers, causing Cassius's hand to drift to his razor. Lilith and the Bone Riders would cut him to pieces if he even drew it. It is us against the world, the jackal says softly. Do you remember telling me that? No. We were young. Mother had just died. I couldn't stop crying. And you said you'd never leave me. But then Claudius would invite you somewhere, and you'd forget all about me. And I'd stay home in a big old house and cry, because I knew even then I was alone. He taps her nose. These next hours are going to test who you are as a person, sister. I'm excited to see what's beneath all the bluster. He moves on to me, loosening my muzzle. Even on my knees, my physicality dwarfs him, 50 kilograms heavier. Still, his presence is like the sea, strange and vast and dark and full of hidden depths and power. His silence, his roar. I see his father in him now. He tricked me, guessing my play on Luna. And now I'm afraid all I've done is going to unravel. And here we are again, he says. I do not reply. Do you recognize these? He runs his stylus down the ribs in his armor, coming closer so I can see the details. My dear father thought a man's deeds make him. I rather think it's his enemies. Do you like it? He steps even closer. One of the ribs shows a helmet with a spiked sunburst. Another rib shows a head in a box. The jackal is wearing Fitchner's rib cage. Anger roars out of me, and I try to bite his face, bellowing like a wounded animal, startling Mustang. I strain against the men holding me, trembling with rage, as the jackal watches me squirm. Cassius stares at the ground, avoiding Mustang's gaze. My voice croaks out of me, hardly my own. That deeper demon only the Jackal can summon from me.
I'm going to skin you, I say.
Bored of me, he rolls his eyes and snaps his fingers. Put the muzzle back on. Tharsis binds my mouth. The Jackal opens his arms as if welcoming two long-lost friends to a party.
Cassius! Antonia! He says. Heroes of the hour!
My dear!
What happened?
He asks when he sees Antonia's face. They were lovers during my imprisonment. Sometimes I'd smell her on him as he came to visit me before the box. Or she'd drag a nail along his neck as she passed.
He goes close to her now, taking her jaw in his hand, tilting her head to examine the damage done to her.
Did Darrow do this?
My sister, she corrects, disliking his examination. She mourned her face in our captivity more than she mourned her own mother's death.
The bitch will pay.
And I'll have it fixed. Don't worry.
She pulls her head back from him.
Stop, the Jackal says sharply.
Why fixed?
It's disgusting.
Disgusting? My dear, scars are what you are. They tell your story.
This is Victor's story, not mine.
You're still beautiful.
He pulls her down gently by her chin and kisses her lips delicately.
He doesn't care for her. Like Mustang said, we're just sacks of meat to him.
But while Antonia's as wicked a thing as I've ever met, she wants to be loved, to be valued. The Jackal knows how to use that.
This was Barker's, Antonia says, handing the Jackal Severo's pistol.
The Jackal runs a thumb over the howling wolves engraved in the hilt.
Fine work, he says.
He strips his own gun from his magnetic holster and tosses it to a bodyguard before holstering Severo's.
Of course he takes my friend's pistol as a trophy.
His data pad flashes, and he holds up a hand for silence.
Yes, Imperator?
The grotesque Ash Lord appears in the air before the Jackal as a disembodied gigantic head. Dark gold eyes peer out from beneath twin thickets of eyebrows. His jowls hang over the high black collar of his uniform.
Augustus, the enemy is underway. Tort ships in front.
They're coming for him, Cassius says.
How many? The Jackal asks.
More than 60. Half bearing the red fox.
Do you wish me to spring the trap?
Not yet. I will assume command of your ships.
You know the arrangement.
The Ash Lord's wide mouth makes a straight line.
I do. You are to continue to join the Sovereign as planned. Escort the Morning Knight and his package to the Citadel. My daughter will take custody of him there. Go now, for gold.
For gold.
The head disappears. The Jackal glances over to the obsidians who pulled me down the cargo ramp.
Slaves, attend to Peter Lysinos on the bridge. You are no longer needed.
The obsidians leave without question. When they are gone, he eyes the 30 bone riders.
The Morning Knight has given us an opportunity to win this war today.
The Telemannuses will come for my sister. The Howlers and the Sons of Ares will come for the Reaper.
They will not have them.
It is upon our shoulders to deliver them to the Sovereign and her strategists in the Citadel.
He addresses Antonia and Cassius.
Set aside your little grievances. Today we are gold. We can bicker when the rising is ash. Most of you lived the darkness of the caves with me. You watched by my side as this creature stole what was ours. They will take everything from us. Our homes, our slaves,
our right to rule. Today we fight to keep what is ours. Today we fight against the dying of our age.
They lean into his words, awaiting his orders hungrily. It's terrifying to see the cult he's built around himself. He's taken bits of me, of my speaking pattern, and transposed it onto his own behavior. He continues to evolve. The jackal turns from his men as Lilith brings back my sling blade, red hot from the engine's heat, and hands it to him, hilt first.
Lilith, you're to stay with the fleet.
You're sure?
You're my insurance plan.
Yes, my liege.
Antonia's not sure what they're talking about, and she doesn't like it one bit. The jackal twirls my razor in his hand, and then, looking between me and Mustang, he's struck by a thought.
How long were you imprisoned by Darrow, Cassius?
4 months.
4 months?
Then I believe you should do the honors.
He flips the red-hot razor to Cassius, who smoothly catches it by its hilt.
Cut off Darrow's hand.
The Sovereign wants him
alive, yes. And he will be.
But she doesn't want him coming into our bunker with his sword arm attached to his body, now does she?
We're to take all his weapons.
New to the beast, and let's be on our way.
Unless there's a problem.
No problem, Cassius says, stepping forward. He lifts high the razor, metal throbbing with heat.
Is this what you've become?
Mustang asks.
Cassius suffers her gaze, shame on his face.
Look at me, Darrow, Mustang says. Look at me. I will myself to forget the blade, to watch her, taking strength from her. But as the superheated metal cleaves through the skin and bone of my right wrist, I forget her. I scream in pain, looking back where my hand was, to see a stump lazily dripping blood through charred capillaries. Smoke from my burning flesh slithers into the air, and through the agony I can see the jackal picking my hand up from the ground and holding it in the air, his newest trophy.
Hic sunt leones, he says. Hic sunt leones,
echo his men.
Chapter 60. Dragon's Maw. I think of my uncle as I cradle the charred stump of my right arm, shivering from pain. Is he with my father now? Does he sit with Io by a wood fire, listening to the birds?
Do they watch me?
Blood weeps through the blackened flesh at my wrist. The pain is blinding, overtaking my entire body. I'm strapped beside Mustang into a seat in two parallel rows in the back of the military assault craft, amidst 30 bone riders. The overhead light pulses an alien green. The ship shudders from turbulence. Luna is in storm. Huge thunderheads swaddling the cities. Black towers penetrating the murky clouds. All along the rooftops, motes of light dance from the headlamps of oranges and high reds, my own brethren, who slave under the military yoke, preparing weapons that will fell their Martian kin. Brighter floodlamps bathe military scenes. Black shapes trimmed with evil red beacons zip and float between towers, as squadrons of ripwings patrol the sky, and golds and grav boots jump between towers kilometers apart, checking on defenses, preparing for the storm above, saying last words to friends, schoolmates, to lovers. Passing the Elorian Opera House, I see a line of golds perched on its highest crenellation, staring up at the sky, their glorious war helms spiked with horns, so they look like a troop of gargoyles balanced there, silhouetted by lightning, waiting for hell to rain. We drive toward the cauldron of clouds that swirls around the highest skyscrapers. Beneath the cloud layer, The interlocking skin of cityscape is quiet, dark in anticipation of orbital bombardment, except for the veins of flame that bleed across the horizon from riots in Lost City. Flashing emergency vehicles drive toward the blazes. The city has gathered its breath for hours, for days, and with exhalation bare moments away, her seams strain and her lungs stretch to bursting. We taxi onto a circular landing pad, in atop the Sovereign's spire. There, Aja and a cohort of Praetorians meet us. The Bone Riders unload with grav boots before we land, covering the craft as it settles onto the pad. Cassius comes out, manhandling me along. He drags Severo with his other hand like a deer carcass. Antonia shoves Mustang along. The weary winter rain of the city moon drips down Aja's dark face. Steam rises from her collar, and a brilliant white smile slashes the night.
Morning, night. Welcome home. The Sovereign awaits.
A kilometer beneath the surface of the moon, the great grav lift known only in military myth as the Dragon Maw stops,
hissing open to lead down a dimly lit concrete hall
to another door emblazoned with the pyramid of the Society. There, blue light scans Aja's irises. The pyramid fractures in half, gears and huge pistons whirring. Technology here, older than the citadel above, ancient from a time when Earth stood the only enemy Luna knew, and the great American railguns were the fear of all Luneborn. It's a testament to the architecture and the discipline of the Praetorians that the great bunker of the Sovereign has not had to change substantially for more than 700 years. I wonder if Fitchner knew its inner workings. Doubtful. Seems a secret Aja would hoard. But I wonder if she even knows all the secrets of this place. Tunnels to the left and right of the narrow hall we pass through are long ago collapsed, and I can't help but wonder who once walked through them, who collapsed them, and why. We pass heavily guarded rooms aglow with hollow lights. Synced blues and greens lying back in tech beds, IVs hooked into their bodies as data streams through their brains via uplink nodes embedded in their skulls, eyes lost to some distant plane. It's the central nervous system of the Society. Octavia can wage a war from here, even if the moon falls to ruin around her. The Obsidians here wear black helmets with draconic-shaped skulls and dark purple on their body armor. Gold letters spelling Cohors Nihil wind along the short swords at their sides. Zero Legion. I've never heard of them, but I see what they guard. One last door of solid, unadorned metal, the deepest refuge of the Society. It dilates open with a groan, and only then, a year and a half since I jumped out the back of her assault shuttle, do I see the silhouette of the Sovereign. A patrician voice echoes down the hall.
Jonas, who cares about civilian casualties? Does the sea ever run out of salt? If they manage an iron rain, you shoot them down, whatever the cost. The last thing we desire is for the Obsidian Horde to land here and link with the riots in Lost City.
The ruler of all I've ever fought against stands in a depressed circle at the center of a large gray and black room, bathed in blue light from the Praetors and Ashlord who surround her in holographic form. There's more than 40 in a semicircle, the veterans of her wars. Pitiless creatures, watching me enter the room with the dark, smug contentment of cathedral statues, as if they always knew it would come to this, as if they earned this end of mine and didn't luck into it just as they lucked into their birth. They know what my capture means. They've been broadcasting it non-stop to my fleet, trying to take our comms with hacking attacks to spread the word among my ships. Spreading it to Earth to quell the uprisings there. Pimping the signal to the core to forestall any more civil unrest. They'll do the same with my execution. The same with Sevro's dead body. And maybe Mustang, despite the deal Cassius thinks he's struck. Look what befalls those who rise against, they will say. Look how even these mighty beasts fall before gold. Who else can stand against them? No one. Their grip will tighten. Their reign will strengthen. If we lose today, a new generation of gold will rise with vigor unseen since the fall of Earth. They will see the threat to their people, and they will breed creatures like Aja and the Jackal by the thousands. They'll build new institutes, expand their military, and throttle my people. That is the future that could be. The one Fitchner feared the most. The one I fear is coming. As I watch the Jackal move past me into the room. His obsidians are not trained in extraplanetary warfare, one of the Praetors is saying. You want to tell that to Fabii? The Sovereign asks. Or perhaps to his mother. She's with the other senators who I had to corral in the chamber before they could flee like little flies and take their ships with them. Politico cravens, someone murmurs. Aside from the glowing holographs, the room is occupied by a small host of martial golds. More than I expected. 2 Olympic knights, 10 Praetorians, and Lysander. 10 years of age now, he has grown nearly half a foot since last I saw him. He carries a datapad to make copious notes of his grandmother's conversation, and smiles to Cassius as we enter, watching me with the wary interest you'd watch a tiger through duroglass. His crystal gold eyes take in my bindings, Aja, and my missing hand, mentally tapping the glass with a nail to see just how thick it is. The 2 Olympic knights greet Cassius quietly as we enter, so as not to disturb the Sovereign in her debriefing, though she's noted my presence with an emotionless glance. Both knights are heavily armored and ready to defend their Sovereign. Above the Sovereign, a globular hollow dominates the domed ceiling of the room, showing the moon in perfect detail. The Ash Lord's fleet is spread out like a screen to cover Luna's dark side, where the Citadel is, like a concave shield. The battle is well underway. But my forces have no way of knowing that the Jackal is just waiting to swing around their flank and hammer them against the Ash Lord's anvil. If only I could reach Orion, she might find some way to salvage this. The Jackal quietly takes a seat to the side, patiently watching the Ash Lord give instructions to a sphere of torch ships. Cassius, you gory damn hound, the Truth Knight says, voice a deep baritone. His eyes narrow and Asiatic. He's from Earth, and he's more compact than us Martians. Is it really him? Bones and heart. Took him from his flagship, Cassius says, kicking me to my knees and hauling back my head by my hair so they can better see my face. He tosses Sevro on the ground, and they inspect the kill. The Joy Knight shakes his head. He's thinner than Cassius and twice again as aristocratic, from an old Venusian family. Met him once at a duel on Mars. Augustus, too? Don't you just have all the luck? And Aja bagged the obsidian. Fear and love are going to get Victra and that white witch.
I'd kill to snag Victra, Truth says, walking around me. That'd be a dance. Say, didn't you bed her, Cassius?
I never kiss and tell.
Cassius nods to the battle. How do we fare?
Better than Fabii. They're tenacious, hard to pin down. Keep trying to close so they can use their obsidian. But the Ash Lord's keeping them at a distance. The Arch-Governor's fleet will be the hammer that wins this. They're already coming around their flank. See?
The knight looks longingly at the hollow. Cassius notices.
You could always join, Cassius says. Order a shuttle.
That would take hours, Truth replies. We've four knights in engagement already. Someone has to protect Octavia, and my ships are being held in reserve, protecting the Dayside. If they make landfall, which is doubtful at this point, we'll need martial men on the ground.
We'll have to wash his face.
What?
Barker's face. It's too bloody. We'll make the broadcast soon, if we're not hacked again.
Saboteurs were wrecking operations. More of Quicksilver's boys. All sorts of tech-head democratic filth with delusions of grandeur. But we hit one of their dens last night with a lurcher squad.
Best way to stop a hacker? Hot metal, Joy adds.
The enemy is brave. I'll give them that,
the Ash Lord is saying in the center of the room, his hologram twice again the width of his adjuncts.
Cutting off their escape, but still they're standing toe-to-toe.
He's on a corvette in the back of his fleet, his signal being rerouted through dozens of other ships. The Ash Lord's fleet moves with beautiful precision, never allowing my ships within 50 kilometers. Roke cared about casualties, cared about not destroying the beautiful 300-year-old ships I'd captured. The Ash Lord has no such restraint. He thuggishly smashes ships to oblivion. Damn their heritage, damn the lives, damn the expense. He's a destroyer. Here, with his back to the wall, he will win at all cost. It aches to see my fleet suffer.
Report when you've further news, the Sovereign says. I want Daxo Autelemanus alive, if possible. All others are expendable, including his father and the Julii.
Yes, my liege.
The old killer salutes and disappears. With a tired sigh, the Sovereign turns to look at her mourning knight and extends her arms as if greeting a long-lost child.
Cassius.
She embraces him after he bows, kissing his forehead with the same familiarity she once had for Mustang.
My heart broke when I heard what happened on the ice. I thought you were slain.
Aja was right to think I was. But I'm sorry it took so long for me to return from the dead, my liege. I had unfinished business to attend.
So I see,
the Sovereign says, caring little for me, focusing on Mustang instead.
I do believe you've won the war, Cassius. The both of you.
She nods without smile to the jackal.
Your ships will make this a short battle.
It is our pleasure to serve, the jackal replies with a knowing smile.
Yes,
the Sovereign says in a strange, almost nostalgic way. Her fingers trace the scars on Cassius's broad neck.
Did they hang you?
Oh, they tried. It didn't quite take. He grins.
You remind me of Lorne when he was young.
I know she once said to Virginia that she reminded her of herself. The affection is more real than the jackal has for his men, but she's still a collector, still using love and loyalty as a shield to protect herself. The Sovereign gestures to me, wrinkling her nose at the metal muzzle around my face.
Do you know what he's planning? Anything that will compromise our endgame?
From what I glean, he's planning an attack on the Citadel.
Cassius, stop! Mustang snaps. She doesn't care about you.
And you do?
The Sovereign asks.
We know exactly what you care about, Virginia.
And what you'll do to get it.
By air or ground? The jackal asks. The attack.
Ground, I believe.
Why didn't you mention this in space?
You were more concerned with chopping off Darrow's hand. The jackal ignores the barb.
How many claw drills are there on Luna?
None working. Not even in the abandoned mines, the Sovereign says. We made sure of that.
If he has a team coming, it'll be Volaris and Julii, the jackal says. They're his best weapons, and helped him take the Moonbreaker.
Volaris is the Obsidian? The Sovereign asks.
Yes?
Queen of the Obsidian, Mustang says. You should meet her. You'd remind Sephi of her mother.
Queen of the Obsidian? They are united? The Sovereign asks Cassius warily.
Is that right? My politico said pan-tribal leadership was impossible.
And they were wrong, Cassius says. Antonia seizes a moment to stand out in the Sovereign's eyes.
It's only the Obsidian and Darrow's fold, my liege, an alliance of the southern tribes.
The Sovereign ignores her.
I don't like it. We have hundreds of Obsidians in the Citadel alone.
They're loyal, Aja says.
How do you know? Cassius asks. Are any from Mars?
Octavia looks to Aja for confirmation.
Most, Aja admits. Even Zero Legion. Martian Obsidians are the best. I want them out of the bunker, Octavia says. Now.
One of the Praetorians moves to do her bidding.
Is she as formidable as her brother?
Aja asks Cassius.
Worse, Mustang says from her knees with a laugh. Far worse, and far brighter. She fights with a pack of warrior women. She has sworn a blood oath to find you, Aja, to drink your blood and use your skull as her chalice in Valhalla. Sephi is coming, and you cannot stop her.
Aja and Octavia exchange a wary look.
They would have to land first before making an assault on the Citadel, Aja says. It's impossible.
How are they coming? Cassius asks me. I shake my head and laugh at him behind my muzzle. Aja kicks the stump of my right hand. I almost black out as I curl around the wound in pain.
How are they coming? Cassius asks.
I don't reply. Emotions to the Joy Knight. Hold out his other arm.
Joy Knight grabs my left arm and pulls it out.
How are they coming?
He asks not me, but Mustang.
I will cut off his other hand if you do not tell me.
Followed by his feet and nose and eyes.
How is Volaris coming?
You're going to kill him anyway, Mustang sneers. So fuck you.
How slowly he dies is up to you, Cassius says.
Who said they didn't already land?
Mustang asks.
What?
They came in the grain ships from Earth, complements of Quicksilver. Landed hours ago. And they're pressing for the Citadel now. 10,000 strong. Didn't you know?
10,000?
Lysander murmurs from his chair to the side of the hollow pit. His grandmother's dawn scepter lies on the table before him. A meter-long length of gold and iron, it's tipped with the triangle of the society, and the withered heart of the Obsidian warlord who led the Dark Revolt nearly 500 years ago.
The legions are deployed to halt an invasion. The Obsidians will overrun our defenses before they can return.
I will make ready the Praetorians and recall 2 legions, Aja says, striding for the door.
No.
Octavia stands motionless, thinking.
No, Aja. You stay with me.
She turns to the Praetorian captain.
Legatus, go reinforce the surface. Take your platoon. There's no need for them here.
I have my knights. Any ship approaching the Citadel should be fired upon. I don't care if it claims to carry the Ash Lord himself. Do you understand?
It will be done.
Legatus and the remaining Praetorians rush out, leaving the room deserted, save for Cassius, the three Olympic knights, Antonia, the Jackal, the Sovereign, three Praetorian guards, and us prisoners.
Aja presses her palm into a console near the door. The sanctum seals behind the Praetorians. A second, thicker door appears from the walls in a corkscrew, slowly locking us off from the world beyond.
I'm sorry, Aja, Octavia says, as the woman returns to her side. I know you want to be with your men, but we already lost Moira. I couldn't risk losing you, too.
I know, Aja replies, but her disappointment is obvious. The Praetorians will deal with the Horde. Shall we attend the other matter?
Octavia glances over to the Jackal, and he gives her the barest of nods.
Severus Julii, come forward, Octavia says.
Antonia does, surprised to have been singled out. A hopeful smile works its way onto her lips. No doubt she is to receive a commendation for her efforts today. She clasps both hands behind her back and waits before her sovereign.
Tell me, Praetor, you were conscripted to join the Sword Armada as it subjugated the Moon Lords in June of this year, were you not?
Antonia frowns.
My liege, I do not understand. It's a fairly simple question. Answer it to the best of your abilities.
I was. I led my family's ships and the 5th and 6th legions.
Under the pro-tem command of Rogue Ao Fabii?
Yes, my liege.
Then tell me, how is it that you are still alive and your Imperator is not?
I only barely managed to escape the battle, Antonia says, seeing the danger in the line of questioning.
Her voice modulates accordingly. It was a terrible calamity, my liege. With the howlers hidden in Thebe, Roke, Imperator Fabii, fell into the trap twofold, through no fault of his own. Any would have done the same. I made effort to rescue his command, to rally our ships, but Darrow had already reached his bridge, and torch ships were burning all around us. We did not know friend from foe. It's haunted my dreams, the sounds of the obsidian horde pouring through their ships.
Liar! Mustang snorts a derision.
And so you retreated?
At grave cost, yes, my liege. I saved as many ships for the Society as I could. I saved my men, knowing they would be needed for the battle to come. It was all I could do.
It was a noble thing, saving so many,
the Sovereign says.
At least it would be, if it were true.
I beg your pardon?
I don't believe I have ever stuttered, girl. I do, however, believe you fled the battle, abandoning your post and your Imperator to the enemy.
You are calling me a liar, my liege.
Obviously, Mustang says.
I will not stand aspersions against my honor.
Antonia snaps at Mustang, puffing up her chest.
It is beneath... Oh, be still, child,
the Sovereign says.
You are in deep waters here, with larger fish than you. You see, others escaped the battle. Others who transmitted their battle analytics to us so we would know what happened. So we could assess the calamity and see how Antonia of the Severus Julii disgraced her name and lost us the battle, abandoning her praetor when he called for aid, fleeing for the belt to save her own hide, when she then lost her ships.
Fabii lost the battle,
she says vindictively.
Not I.
Because his allies abandoned him.
Aja purrs.
He might still have saved his command had you not thrown his formation to chaos.
Fabii made mistakes,
the sovereign says. But he was a noble creature, and as loyal a servant to his colour. He was even honourable enough to take his own life, to accept that he had failed, and to pay justly for it, and ensure he would not be interrogated or bartered. His last act in destroying the rebel docks was the act of a hero. An iron gold. But you, you scurrilous craven, you fled like a little girl who pissed her white day dress. You abandoned him to save yourself. Now you slander him in front of all, in front of his friend. She gestures protectively to Cassius. Your men saw the reptile underneath. That is why they turned on you. Why you lost your ships to your better sister.
I would see whoever lays these claims against me in the bleeding place.
Antonia says, trembling with anger.
My honour will not be smeared by faceless, jealous creatures. It is sad that they would manufacture evidence to smear my good name.
No doubt they have ulterior motives. Perhaps intentions against my company, or my holdings.
Or they seek to undermine gold as a whole.
Adrius, tell the sovereign how ridiculous this all is.
But Adrius remains quiet.
Adrius?
I'd rather have the loyalty of a dog than that of a coward, he says. Lilith was right. You are weak, and that is dangerous. Antonia looks about like a drowning woman, feeling the water coming over her head, undertow pulling her down, nothing to grab onto, nothing to save her.
Aja swells behind her like a dark wave as Octavia denounces her formally. Antonia aus Severus Julii, matron of House Julii and praetor first class of the 5th and 6th Legions, by the power invested in me by the compact of the society, I find you guilty of treason and dereliction of duty in a time of war, and hereby sentence you to death.
You bitch!
Antonia hisses at her. Then to the jackal, you can't afford to kill me. Aegis, please.
But she has no ships anymore. No face. Tears stream out of swollen eyes as she seeks some hope here, some way out. There is none. And when she meets my gaze, she knows what I am thinking. Reap what you sow. This is for Victra and Lear and Thistle and all the others she would sacrifice so she could live.
Please,
she whimpers. But there is no mercy here. Aja grasps Antonia's neck from behind. She shivers in horror, shrinking to her knees, not even attempting to fight, as the huge woman slowly closes her hands and begins to strangle her to death. Antonia snorts, wriggles, and takes a full minute to die. When she has, Aja completes the execution by snapping her neck with a violent twist and tossing her atop Severo's corpse.
What an odious creature, the sovereign says, turning from Antonia's body. At least her mother had spine. Cassius, your shoes are filthy.
Blood crusts the rubber soles of his prison slippers and spatters the green jumpsuit's legs.
There's a complex of sleeping quarters through there. A kitchen, showers. Clean yourself. My valet has been attempting to foist a meal on me for hours. I'll have him serve it here for you. You won't miss the battle. The Ash Lord has promised it will last another several hours, at the very least. Lysander, will you show him the way?
I won't leave your side, my liege, Cassius says very nobly. Not till this is through, and these monsters are put down.
The Truth Knight rolls his eyes at the display.
You're a good lad, she says, before turning toward me. Now, it's time we dealt with the red.
Chapter 61 The Red. Asia drags me to the Sovereign's feet at the center of the holopad. The cold sneer of command is etched deeply into the tyrant's marble face. Her shoulders are weary, though, pressed down by the weight of empire and the shadowy mass of 100 years of sleepless nights. Her tightly bound hair is shot with deep rivers of grey. Tendrils of blue worm through the corners of her eyes from relapsed cellular rejuvenation therapy. She's had no peace from me. Kneeling and bleeding though I am, it does my soul good to know I've haunted her nights.
Remove his muzzle, she tells Aja, who stands behind me, preparing to administer the Sovereign's justice.
The Truth Knight and the Joy Knight flank Octavia. Cassius stands over Mustang to the side, in his prisoner greens, among the Praetorians, while the Jackal watches from his chair near Lysander, sipping a coffee brought by the valet. I stretch my jaw as the muzzle comes off.
Imagine a world without the arrogance of the young,
Octavia says to her fury.
Imagine a world without the greed of the old.
I reply hoarsely. Asia slams the side of my head with her fist. The world flashes black and I almost keel over.
Why'd you take his muzzle off if you wanted him to be silent? Mustang asks.
The Jackal laughs.
A fair point, Octavia.
Octavia scowls at him.
Because we executed a puppet last time, and the worlds know it. This is flesh and blood. The red who rose. I want them to know it is him who falls. I want them to know that even their best is insignificant. Give him words and he'll just make another slogan, the Jackal warns.
Octavia, do you really think my brother won't kill you?
Mustang asks.
He won't rest until you're dead. Until you're all dead, till he takes your scepter and sits on your throne. Of course he wants my throne. Who wouldn't?
The Sovereign says.
What is my charge, Lysander? To defend your throne. To create a union where it is safer for subjects to follow than to fight. That is the role of Sovereign. Be loved by a few, be feared by the many, and always know thyself.
Very good, Lysander, she says sadly. The purpose of a sovereign isn't to rule. It's to lead, I say. Not even hearing me, she turns to the Joy Knight, who is at the controls of the holodeck, preparing her broadcast.
Is it ready?
Yes, my liege. Greens have restored the links. It'll go out live to the core.
Say your goodbyes to the red. Mustang,
Aja says, patting Mustang's head.
Can't even do it yourself, I ask the Jackal.
What a man you are.
He frowns.
I want to do it, Octavia,
the Jackal says suddenly, rising from his seat and walking out to the holodeck.
Olympic knights carry out executive executions, Aja says. It's not your place, Arch-Governor.
I don't remember asking for your permission.
Aja bares her teeth at the insult, but the Sovereign's hand on her shoulder restrains her tongue.
Let him do it, the Sovereign says.
Strange, the Sovereign's deference to the Jackal. It's out of character, but in keeping with the oddness I've felt between them on the day. Why would he be here, I wonder? Not Luna. That's obvious enough, but why would he come to a place where the Sovereign has absolute power over him?
At any moment she could kill him. He must have something over her to buy himself immunity. What is his play here? I sense Mustang trying to divine the same answer as Aja moves away from me. The Joy Knight offers the jackal a scorcher, but Adrius refuses. Instead, he picks Severo's gun from his holster and twirls it around his index finger. "He's no gold," the jackal explains. "He doesn't deserve a razor or a state death. He'll go like his uncle. In any matter, I very much would like to begin the transition as the Hand of Justice. Plus, offing Darrow with Severo's gun is more poetic, don't you think, Octavia?" "Very well. Is there anything else you would like?" the Sovereign asks tiredly. "No. You've been most accommodating." The jackal takes Aja's place beside me as the Sovereign transforms before our eyes, the exhaustion burning away from her face as she adopts the serene, matronly visage I remember telling me, obedience, sacrifice, prosperity, time and time again from the HC in Lycos. Then Octavia seemed a goddess, so far beyond mortal ken that I would have given my life to please her, to make her proud of me. Now I'd give my life to end hers. The Joy Knight nods to the Sovereign. A light glows softly above her, empowering the woman with the fury and warmth of the sun. It's just a spotlight. The lamp deepens its glow. The jackal brushes an errant strand from his fastidiously parted hair and smiles fondly at me. The broadcast begins. "Men and women of the society," Octavia says, "this is your sovereign. Since the dawn of man, our saga as a species has been one of tribal warfare. It has been one of trial, one of sacrifice, one of daring to defy nature's natural limits. Then, after years of toiling in the dirt, we rose to the stars. We bound ourselves in duty. We set aside our own wants, our own hungers, to embrace the hierarchy of color, not to oppress the many for the glory of the few, as Ares and this terrorist would have you believe, but to secure the immortality of the human race on principles of order and prosperity. It was an immortality that was assured before this man tried to steal it from us." She points a long, elegant finger at me. "This man, once a noble servant of you, of your families, should have been the brightest son of his color. He was lifted up as a youth, awarded merits of honor. But he chose vanity, to extend his own ego across the stars, to become a conqueror. He forgot his duty. He forgot the reason for order, and has fallen into darkness, dragging the worlds with him. But we will not fall into that darkness. No, we will not bend to the forces of evil." She touches her heart. We are the society. We are gold, silver, copper, blue, white, orange, green, violet, yellow, gray, brown, pink, obsidian, and red. The bonds that bind us together are stronger than the forces that pull us apart. For 700 years, gold has shepherded humanity, brought light where there was dark,
plenty where there was famine. Today, we bring peace where there is war. But to have peace, we must destroy outright this murderer who has brought war to each and every one of our homes.
She turns to me with a callousness that reminds me of how she watched my duel with Cassius, how she would have let me die then, sipped her wine, and been about her dinner. I am a speck to her, even now. She's thinking past this moment, past the time where my blood cools on the floor and they drag me off to be dissected.
Darrow of Lycos, by the power entrusted in me by the compact, I hereby find you guilty of conspiracy to incite acts of terror.
I stare directly into the holocam's optic lens, knowing how many countless souls watch me now, how many countless eyes will watch me long after I have gone.
I find you guilty of mass murder upon the citizens of Mars.
I barely listen to her. My heart thunders in my chest, rattling the fingers of my left hand, pushing up into my throat. This is it. The end swarming toward me.
I find you guilty of murder.
This moment, this fragment of time is my life in summary. It is my shout into the void.
And I find you guilty of treason against your society.
But I want no shout.
Let that be for Roke. Let that be for the Golds. Give me something more. Something they cannot understand. Give me the rage of my people. The wrath of all people in bondage.
As the Sovereign recites her sentence, as the Jackal waits to deliver it, as Mustang kneels on the ground, as Cassius watches me from among the Praetorians and Knights, waiting, and as Azure sees me look to the tall blonde knight, she steps forward in trepidation because she knows something is wrong. I throw back my head, and I howl. I howl for my wife, for my father, for Ragnar and Quinn and Pax and Nerol, for all the people I've lost, for all they would take. I howl because I am a Helldiver of Lycos. I am the Reaper of Mars, and I have paid for access to this bunker with my flesh. All so I could come before Octavia. All so that I might either die with my friends or see our enemies brought to justice. The Sovereign nods to the Jackal to execute the sentence. He presses the barrel to the back of my head, and he squeezes the trigger. The gun kicks in his hand. Fire spits, scorching my scalp, deafening sound ringing through my right ear. But I do not fall. No bullet carves through my head. Smoke swirls out of the barrel, and as the Jackal looks down at the gun, he knows. No. He steps away from me, dropping the gun, trying to pull out his razor.
Octavia!
Azure shouts, lunging forward. But just then, in that beat of the heart, the Sovereign hears something behind the camera and turns to see a Praetorian guard with his head tilted, his pulse rifle thumping to the floor as a grisly red tongue protrudes from his mouth. Only it's not a tongue. It's Cassius's bloody razor that entered through the back of the Praetorian skull and out between his teeth. It disappears back into the mouth. The three guards fall before the Sovereign can say a bloody damn word. Cassius stands behind the slaughtered men, his head lowered, his razor red, his left hand holding the remote control to my restraints and Mustang's.
Bellona?
Is all the Sovereign can say before he presses the button. Mustang's steel vest unbuckles and falls to the ground. Mine follows suit. She dives for a dead Praetorian's pulse rifle. Unshackled, I rise, jerking my arms free and pulling the knife hidden inside the metal vest. I lunge toward the Sovereign. Faster than she can blink, I jam the blade through her black jacket into the softness of her lower belly. She gasps, eyes huge, inches from mine. I smell the coffee on her breath, feel the flutter of her eyelashes as I stab her 6 more times in the gut, and on the last, rip the metal up toward her sternum. Hot blood pours over my knuckles and chest as she spills open. Octavia! Asia's charging me, making it halfway before Mustang, firing from her knees, shoots her in the armored side with the pulse rifle. The blast lifts Asia off her feet, slapping her across the room into the wooden conference table beside Severo and Antonia's bodies, nearly crushing Lysander. Seeing their Sovereign stumbling backward, gut ripped open, the Truth Knight and the Joy Knight both wheel on Cassius, pulling their razors from their hips, their shields thrumming to life. Unarmored, wearing only his blood-spattered prison greens, Cassius flashes forward, skewering the surprised Truth Knight through his eye socket, up through the roof of his skull. The jackal pulls my razor from his hip and slashes at me. I sidestep, coming at him. He swings again, screaming in rage, but I catch his arm and headbutt him in the face before sweeping his legs and tackling him to the floor. I take my razor and stake his left arm to the floor so that he has no free hand. He screams, his spit spattering my face, thrashing at me with his legs. I drop a knee into his forehead and leave him stunned and pinned to the floor. "Darrow!" Cassius calls to me as he duels the Joy Knight. "Behind!" Behind me, Asia's rising from the shattered remains of the table, eyes wide with rage. I run from her to help Cassius and Mustang, knowing she'd kill me in seconds with my right hand gone. Blood darkens Cassius's green jumpsuit. His left leg has been slashed badly by the better-armored Joy Knight, who is using his weight and the pulsing Aegis shield on his left arm to overwhelm Cassius. Mustang grabs 2 razors from the dead Praetorian and tosses one to me. I catch it on the run with my left hand, toggle the hilt. Razor leaps to killing length. Cassius takes another slash to the leg and stumbles over a body, going down, blocking the second strike with the pulse fist, ruining the weapon. The Joy Knight's back is to me. He feels me coming, but it's too late. Silently, I jump through the air and swing a huge looping strike down at him from behind, left arm slowing as it meets the throbbing resistance of the pulse shield, centimeters from the armor, then jerking as it cleaves into his sky-blue plate and through muscle and bone, carrying from left shoulder to the right pelvis, parting his body at a diagonal. His body drips to the ground. Silence in the room as the bodies hit the floor. Mustang rushes to my side. She sweeps her golden mess of hair back, a fevered grin splitting her face. I help Cassius up from the ground. "How was my acting?" he asks, wincing. "Not quite as good as your sword work," I say, looking at the bodies around him. He grins, more alive in battle than anywhere else. I feel a pang, knowing this is always how it should have been. Missing the days where we rode together in the Highlands, pretending we were lords of the earth. I grin back at him, wounded, bleeding, but almost whole for the first time I can remember. "Will you two save the flirting for later?" Mustang says. Side by side with her, we turn together to face the deadliest human being in the solar system. She's crouched over a terribly wounded Octavia, who has crawled to the edge of the holodeck and pants on her back, holding her stomach together with both hands. Octavia's pale and shivering. Tears stream down Asia's face and Lysander's, who has rushed into the pit to help his grandmother.
"Asia!"
the jackal screams from the floor.
"Kill them! Open the door or kill them!"
He's lost his mind, thrashing about, trying to reach the whip toggle on the razor with his stump. It's 3.5 feet above him, and he just can't quite reach.
open it!
He says through gnashing teeth. But to open the door, she must reach it. And to reach it, she must go through me and my friends, then present her back to us while she enters the code. She's trapped in here till we're dead, or she is. Aja, give us the sovereign. Her justice is due, I say, knowing what Aja's reply to that will be, but minding the holodeck is still active. Still broadcasting as gold blood wets the floor. Aja does not turn to look at us. Not yet. Her huge hands caress Octavia's face. She cradles the older woman like a mother holding her own child. Stay alive, she tells her. I will get you out of here. I promise. Just stay alive, Octavia. Octavia nods weakly. Lysander touches Aja's arm.
Hurry, please.
Wear her down, Mustang whispers. She's the one with the ticking clock. Don't let her pin you in a corner, I say. Move laterally, like we planned. Cassius, you can still take point. Just try to keep up, he says. Aja rises from her crouch to her full height. A brooding mass of muscle and armor, the greatest student of the greatest razor master the society has ever known. Face dark, unreadable. The deep blue protean armor moving subtly with sea dragons. Shoulders nearly as broad as Ragnar's. I wish I could have brought Sephi here. A meter and a half of killing silver slithers out before Aja, and she takes the winter stance of the willow way, sword raised like a torch off to the side, left foot forward, hips sunken, knees slightly bent. Mustang and I slide apart, taking the right and left. Cassius, the best swordsman of us now, takes the middle. Aja's hungry eyes devour our weaknesses. The drag in Cassius's step, my missing right hand, Mustang's size, the arrangement of obstacles on the floor. And she attacks. There are two strategies when fighting multiple opponents. The first is